Let's be in a spirit of prayer at this time. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for this day that you have made, for your great love for us. We thank you, Lord. You are our mighty God, the Lord of all the universe, and yet you care enough to be mindful of us, to love and care for us as your very own. Lord God, we seek to show our gratitude, our love for you, and in light of your overflowing love for us, we know that it is but a small portion of the praise you deserve. We thank you, Lord, that in your love you have blessed us with the wondrous gift of your Holy Spirit. For when we're worried, when we're hurting, your Spirit is present, speaking peace and comfort within us. When we're feeling lost or alone, you bless us with your Spirit that is present with us now and always. Lord God, we admit that too often we find ourselves caught up in the ways of the world. We get ourselves wrapped up into our own will and our own ways, forgetting that you are here to guide us for our sake. Forgive us, O God, and in this place now we ask, Lord, that you breathe your life, breathe your Spirit into us anew. Fill us once again, Lord, with your overflowing love, and by your Spirit lead us now into the life that you have for each of us. Lord, we pray that you may continue to work within us, molding and making us into your own. Continue to guide us, O God, each day. And now, as we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Touch me, oh. So much to our men's ensemble for offering that beautiful. I don't even know I need to bring a message today, but I'm going to. Also, I saw Dick Lofton helping direct today, so I want to make sure he gets. How'd they do, Dick? Did they do okay? Thank you, Dick, for helping out. I want to start today with one of my favorite, all-time favorite stories, and I use this story a lot in funerals and in memorial services, because I think it illustrates the power of being claimed as a child of God, but also because it's a wonderful illustration of being claimed as the child of a loving human father. So it works both ways. That's what makes it such a great story. And the story begins like this. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who went fishing on the Mississippi River. And of course, the story is great because we live right here on the Mississippi River. But the fishing wasn't very good that day. And there was kind of an old man that was fishing nearby. And so they struck up a conversation, and that kind of helped pass the time. And they chatted and they laughed throughout the day. And then the day began to kind of come to an end. And as the sun was going down, they saw this sternwheeler, this riverboat, making its way up the river. And as soon as the little boy saw the riverboat coming up the river, he began to jump up and down. And he took his handkerchief out of his back pocket and he began to wave it at the riverboat. And the old man looked at him and laughed and said, "Son," he said, "what you're doing is silly." He said, no big boat like that is going to pay attention to a little boy like you. They've got way more important things to do than to even notice." And so he just went back to fishing. Pretty soon he looked up, though, and he saw the riverboat coming closer and closer, and it was coming right at them. And eventually it stopped on the shore right next to him, and they dropped a gangplank down. And the little boy ran up the gangplank to hugs from the whole crew. And then he turned around, and he looked at the old man fishing on the river, on the bank there, and he said, "See, mister," he said, "I'm not silly." He said, "My daddy is the captain of this riverboat. And I'm on my way to a new home upriver." And I always finish that story by saying, you know, it may seem strange to think that a being as powerful as the creator of the universe could care about us and each of our little individual selves, but it's not like we're jumping up and down trying to get the attention of somebody that doesn't care. We are adopted children of a heavenly Father, and he loves us more than we could ever possibly know, and he's prepared a place for each of us up home upriver, and we're all going to join him there someday. And there's power in that. There's power in that story and in that understanding to be claimed and to be loved and to be adopted is a powerful thing. And as we're going to see in our scripture reading for today, the Holy Spirit plays a role in that. We've been talking now for a couple of weeks about how the Holy Spirit works and functions in our lives, the wonder and work of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to be taking a look at a text from Romans about how Paul says, through the Holy Spirit, we feel that connection. The Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit, is what it says. We feel that connection to God and that love that he has for us. We feel the fact that we are children of God, sons and daughters of the eternal. Last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. Kind of similar. That feeling we get that you know what, we've messed up, we're not where we're supposed to be, and we need to confess that, we need to turn from that, we need to be a part of what God is now doing. Similar thing happens when the Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are indeed children of God. So let's take a look at what Paul says. This is from Romans 8, which is probably one of the greatest chapters in Scripture. There's so much there. It's really about the power of God's love. As Pastor Brian said in his sermon last night, it begins by saying that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and the chapter ends by saying there is no separation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And there, right in the middle, is this little section that we're going to read today. Paul says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." It's not an accident that we are talking about being adopted as God's children here on Father's Day. We saw this kind of coming last year when we were doing some of our planning, and decided that this would be a good time to talk about how, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are adopted as God's children. But I do have a small confession to make, and that is that I always struggle a little bit with Mother's Day and Father's Day. I know these are really special days to a lot of people, but one of the reasons I struggle with it is because of some of the things that Jesus says about our biological families and what that means. And if you spend any time at all reading in the Gospels, you're going to see that Jesus has some mixed feelings about family. So pull out just a couple of the most kind of glaring examples that I can think of. Both of them are from Romans. In this case, Jesus says, "For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves his father more or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." I've always threatened to use that as a Mother's Day sermon, but I've never had the courage to do that. But I'm going to read it today since I am a dad. And then there's another one. There's another text from Matthew where Jesus' family is coming. They've heard. He's teaching. He's out there in the world teaching, and it's gotten back to his family that some of the things he's saying are pretty controversial, and I think they're trying to like get him to lay low, maybe to slow down a little bit, maybe not say so much. And so they show up at the house where he's teaching, and some of his disciples come in and say, "Hey, your mom's here. She wants to talk to you." And so this is his response to this. Jesus says, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And then he pointed to his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and my sister and my brothers." So obviously Jesus wasn't what you might describe as traditionally pro-family. Now, that's not to say that he thought parents and children shouldn't love each other and respect each other. Jesus taught that we should all love each other. But what these sayings about family tell me, and I think this is good news, is that our family of origin, no matter how good or bad, does not define who we are. And for those of us who grew up in a great family, that doesn't mean that you can coast, okay? And those of you who grew up in a family that was really goofed up, it doesn't mean that things can't change, you see? So there, years ago, I was doing a Bible study for a singles group, and we were talking about nature versus nurture, and we were talking about our families and how our families shape us. And one of the images that came to my mind during that time, it really, I thought, kind of was perfect, was the image of a bullet being fired from a gun. So when you fire a bullet from a gun, it's going to follow, physics say it's going to follow that trajectory. Whatever, you know, direction you point it, that's where it's going to go, until it runs into something or until it runs out of energy. We are a little bit similar when we are kind of fired out of the gun of our family. Okay, so you're raised. There's all that, the genetic stuff, but then there's all the environmental stuff, and you follow a trajectory out of your family. And if you're not intentional and if you're not careful, you're going to just follow that trajectory to wherever it leads. And that, again, sometimes that can be okay, but the good news is that we are not bullets. We are human beings, and we are created in God's image, and we can change, and we can set the course of our life. A couple weeks ago, we talked about what does it mean to repent. It means to turn. It means to change the trajectory of your life so that you're not going in the direction that you were going in before. And I think for those who had fathers and mothers that were maybe abusive or just not there, that this becomes good news for them. It becomes, I think, healing and reassuring to hear that there's another way of understanding family. And of course, at the center of this teaching is Jesus' own understanding of God, who he called Abba, Father. Jesus had this completely kind of radical new understanding of who God was. Before Jesus, they couldn't even say the name of God out loud. I mean, they go through all kinds of exercises in order not to say that name, and then Jesus comes along and says, "No, you can pray the same way I do. You can say Abba, Father." And the word Abba, you've probably heard this before, is actually the informal Hebrew word that Hebrew children, Jewish children, call their dads. And when I was in Israel in the year 2000, I heard all kinds of little Israeli children, Jewish children, saying Abba and Amma, mommy and daddy. That's what that means. And Jesus said, you can have that same relationship too. I think it's one of the most radical things that Jesus said and did. You can have the same relationship that he did. You can also, when you pray, you can say, we just did it, our Father who art in heaven. You can pray like that. Abba, Father, Daddy. It's all actually the very same word. Paul puts it this way in our scripture. He says, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. To be adopted, to be chosen, not just to inherit your family, but to be chosen is an amazing thing. It means to receive special care and nurture. It's an amazing act of love. A couple of weeks ago, I saw something. Somebody posted something on Facebook that kind of haunted me a little bit, kind of stuck with me. And I know this is going to sound silly. It was pictures of dogs. And I know there's lots of dogs and cat videos and whatnot, but these were pictures of dogs that were in an animal shelter that hadn't been adopted. Other dogs had kind of come and gone, and these poor dogs were there in their kennels, and you could just see how sad they were not to have a forever home, not to have a family that they could be a part of. And then they showed the same dog, so there was a before picture and an after picture. Here's the first example. They showed the before picture, how sad they were, and then they took a picture at that moment when the dog kind of realized, you know what, I don't have to go back to that animal shelter. Now I have a family that will love me, that will be my forever home, that will take care of me. And you can just see the look on their faces. So there's a couple. Don't they look happy? They're leaving the animal shelter, I think, at this point. Here's another one. There's one. And I love that one. And now, if dogs can experience that kind of reassurance, that kind of love, if they can feel that, how much more do human beings experience the power of God's love, experience the very same thing? Adoption really is another word for love. And I've had several people just this morning actually come up and tell me after the sermon, hey, I'm adopted, you know, and I'm proud of that. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We kind of act like it is sometimes, but those who are adopted, I'm sure we have some in here right now, they understand that that's really special to be chosen. I mean, I just happened to my parents, you know, but if you're adopted, you've been chosen to be loved and to be a part of a family. And that doesn't diminish our biological families at all, but it is an important thing to know. Unfortunately, in our society, we stop adoptions after you reach a certain age. And I checked it out. I was hoping I might be able to get adopted by Bill Gates, but it's not possible. So once you reach the legal age of accountability, then you're pretty much kind of on your own. But here's something I believe to be true. And that is that even though we may grow up in terms of years chronologically, I still think that there's a child's heart in every one of us that's always there, never goes away. Now, we may build barriers around it so we don't get bruised and broken. We may put it aside so it doesn't get in the way of our adult life, but it never goes away entirely. And what I believe that child's heart wants more than anything is love, unconditional love, the kind of love that our mommies and daddies want to give us, that they certainly feel, but I think it's the kind of love, the kind of love we really hunger for, is the kind of love that only God can provide. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." Isn't that interesting? That he makes that connection to that child's heart inside every one of us. No matter how old we get, if you want to be a part of what God's doing, you've got to become like that little child. Another preacher I heard said, translated it this way, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there will be no grown-ups in heaven." Same, saying essentially the same exact thing. Now, I know it can be hard for some of us to be vulnerable and to kind of open ourselves up in that way and to admit that we need that. We need that kind of love and reassurance in our lives. But slogging it out day after day, year after year, trying to do it on our own, needing God's love, but kind of pushing it away from ourselves, that's the path of the flesh that Paul talks about. That's the way of death. But for those who are humble enough to open themselves, to receive that love, God and to live in the power of the Spirit, God provides for us another way. Because, as I said before, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there will be no grown-ups in heaven, only adopted children of the Heavenly Father." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your work in us. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that speaks to our spirit and tells us that we are claimed, that we are loved, that we are adopted children of a Heavenly Father who loves us, who has chosen us, who wants to be a part of our lives. Help us to find peace and joy in that relationship, in our connection with Him and with one another in the family of God. For we pray this all in Jesus' name.